Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
All right. Well, it was a little bit rough getting started, but we are here. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
And we're
Diva Mizar, but I'm sorry, I'm unplugged at the moment.
You're unplugged.
Silent Rob, green techie Rob is coming here. I can plug it in, Rob. My headphones
raw and unplugged.
Have become unplugged. So I didn't know if we were on or not. Oh, hi, ladies.
Hello.
Now you can hear
us. Oh, hello. Nice. Now I can hear you. So hi, everybody. I'm Green Diva Mizar.
Goody. Yeah. I'm Green Diva Meg.
I'm Green Diva Gina. Hello.
All right. Done. We have so much to talk about today.
And Mercury is going to go direct Saturday. So next week, hopefully, we'll have our act together.
We always have our act together. It's just the delivery stinks sometimes. That's all there is to it,
Megan. I think it's the delivery. I think it's the technology.
Oh, is it? Well, okay. You it's know, how we deliver then that stinks.
The tech thing.
Yeah, it's all good. Well, oh, you man, know, speaking of tech, you are driving a high-tech car these days, aren't you?
I really am. Now, before we get into all that fun, I just want to mention our sponsor, buygreen.com.
Love them.
I went to their page, their sale page today.
They have a sale page?
Yeah. If you go to buygreen.com, go down on the lower left side, there's the sale page.
That's exciting.
It's the page to on buygreen.com to save you green.
Oh, funny.
Anyway, they have a lot of cool stuff for sale, including some like really cool underwear, undergarments.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Like bamboo fabric and stuff like that?
Ed's cracking up over there.
Yeah. We asked him to temper his enthusiasm, but I know he's going to come up with something.
So go check out buygreen.com. Go down the left side and check out their sales people.
Okay.
For anyway. Sure.
Done and so, done.
Yes. Yeah. Going back to what you mentioned, I am playing in a Toyota Prius plug-in this week.
In case you haven't heard, because we've really made a lot of announcements about it because it's just so cool.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's for charity. It's the Toyota Plug-in Challenge, MPG Challenge, and it's like hashtag plug-in for charity, in case you want to know. And yeah, I've been driving around in this scorching freaking
heat
crazy
and humidity
heat
in
wave.
New Jersey. Yes.
Trying not to use my air conditioning so I get the highest MPG because I am going to win money for, you know, God willing, and I don't melt first.
Well, I'll say you really are crazy.
For
I couldn't do it.
11th hour rescue because that's where we got our Gracie.
You gave away your secret now. Hopefully, none of your competitors are.
Well,
tuned in.
It depends on how much they want to win, man, because it's, you know, hey, it really was like a sauna yesterday. I was driving up the highway.
Oh, my word.
I bet you it was like
and
a sauna.
And I did put
car.
The air conditioning on for a couple minutes, and then I thought, okay, I'm cool. I turned it off, and like in 2 minutes, I was beyond. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. I couldn't do it. You are a better diva than I.
So even with the, I put the windows down, which is not good because of the drag.
Right.
But it was like a windy sauna. Okay. It was like hot
yes,
air.
Yes, but on the highway.
Hot air.
I mean, I don't mean to, excuse me for interrupting. On the highway, you want to use your air conditioning.
I think Jeff, in a regular car, but maybe not in the hybrid as much because it really, really want, you know.
Someone needs to tell us. Go to Facebook and somebody tell us what
actually,
we're doing wrong here.
So Toyota, no, I think it's a combination of things.
Oh, it is.
You know,
okay.
But Toyota did write to me today, the nice folks that are running this thing, to tell me that it is a combination of not only the electric battery MPGE, but the MPG. Oh, are you thinking about?
No, wait. I just wanted to know if they wrote to you before or after they saw our latest post.
Oh God,
from the Prius.
Yeah, I thought they were writing me to say like, really? You know, we're gonna pull you from this competition because you guys are nuts.
Go to YouTube, folks. The Green Divas.
Yeah, look up Green Divas. We have our own YouTube channel now. Green Divas, just Green Divas. And we paid homage, didn't we?
Yes,
to
we did.
Freddie Mercury, Queen, and Rhapsody,
Bohemian Rhapsody.
And of course Wayne's World.
Yes,
while driving.
Right, you did it. You tempered your enthusiasm because you were driving.
Yeah, I just want to let people know that we were safe. We were driving
very
around
safe.
The block, going 5 miles an hour.
Correct.
And we had a blast. And it's just a very short little funny silly, really
I don't know.
Green Diva Quickie.
It's a Green Diva Quickie, but I'll tell you, you got two 50-plus-year-old broads out there doing what we did, and I'm just thinking, oh, my gosh.
We're pretty shameless, and we probably yes. dated ourselves, because how many young kids even know what Bohemian Rhapsody is?
Oh, me.
Well,
me.
Okay. Good,
me.
Good. That's good. Because yes. of Wayne's World, right? It came out again.
Well, my parents are Queen fans.
Oh, there you go.
So I grew up listening to Queen, you know?
Fabulous.
So I knew Queen before I watched Wayne's World, though.
Oh, so then when you got to that part,
it was
like, oh, man, that's so funny. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
She did. She cracked up. Even yeah. Wayne's World is, what? How long ago was that put out, you know, produced?
I don't even want to think about
30?
It.
30?
No.
Almost 30 years?
30 really? Years ago?
No way.
Well, it had to be the 80s. It had to be the 80s.
Or maybe it was a spoof on the 80s and the 90s.
Maybe. I can look it up.
Yeah, look it up, because I just don't like losing decades, and I've yeah. already lost a couple along the way
right,
there,
right.
for sure.
Okay, so you got to go to our YouTube channel.
Please
subscribe.
Or Facebook, too.
Subscribe, because now we're doing like at least one or two a week of
yes.
these funny little videos, and we're doing product reviews and having fun in the car.
Yes. And Grace makes an appearance once in a while.
And Gracie makes an appearance.
1992. Yeah.
Thank you.
Not 80s.
Thank goodness.
Not 80s.
Thank goodness.
Okay, sorry.
It's still a while ago, kids. Yeah.
Be quiet.
I was two. I was alive.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Kill her now or kill her later?
Yeah, right? That's funny. So now, speaking of videos, we're going to vamp up our studio a little bit and make it a little bit more camera ready.
Oh, it's going to be very cool.
We've got a wonderful company called Quiet Home Paints that is going to give us some paint. It's organic, non-toxic.
VOCs, right?
Yeah, all really gentle on the earth.
And the color's beautiful.
They gave us some color things that are handmade, which I kind of like. Don't you know?
Yeah, they are. They're not machine generated. You can see because somebody literally either took their finger or a paintbrush yeah. and plopped the color on the piece of cardboard. It's very cool.
So we're going to get, I think we've all decided we want that truck color. It's kind of a red, like a brick red.
Yeah, kind of a
truck.
Russet. It's like a rusty truck.
Like
maybe
rusty.
The rust on the truck. I don't know. But we like it, and it's perfect for studio.
And we're going to get one wall in blackboard finish so
right.
that we can really have some fun.
The possibilities are endless.
You should do
Seriously.
The ceiling in torn skirt.
Which one's torn skirt?
It's
that blue?
This, that blue-green. Well, Aww. If not torn skirt, maybe porch, which is a
Porcachet.
Lovely celestial blue. So,
oh, Mary Jo from from 11th Hour Rescue just chimed in.
Oh, hi, Mary Jo.
On our video, she said, you girls are so funny.
Good.
Yay, it's going to go viral.
Yay. Good, Mary Jo. Pass it around. Share it.
Well, I just, you know, would love for people to subscribe to our little YouTube channel, and we'll start having more fun.
Okay.
So anyway, paints, Quiet Home Paints. We're pretty excited about that. And we're going to have the new camera, hopefully.
Right.
And
we'll have a painting party.
By the time we get
right?
the paint. So we're going to have some fun painting yes. and videoing.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gina
yes.
did a great post this week.
Thank you.
About some hybrid fruits, which scared me initially because I was like, ah, GMOs.
Yeah. Yeah. Meg got back to me in like an hour and she's like, oh my gosh, GMOs. I don't know. Like,
yeah. I don't think we want to go there.
Yeah. So luckily, of course, that's not what, you know. What it's about, but
yes.
So why don't you talk to us a little bit about yeah. your post?
I just love her pronunciation. Just listen, folks.
I know.
Very,
I know.
I have to do it
cute.
Really carefully, though.
Okay, good. I know. I know.
So basically, I found out about these hybrid fruits because when I was home with my mom about a few weeks ago, she knows I love fruit, and so she bought a bunch of different kinds of fruit, and she just plopped these fruits in front of me. And I'm like, what are these? And the only way I could describe them is they look like dinosaur eggs. They're about the size of, if you can imagine, a smaller baseball or like a little Nerf ball. And they're modeled like pink and yellow.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, what are these?
They're pretty fruit.
They're very pretty. So I said, Mom, what are these? And she's like, oh, they're pluots. And I'm like,
oh, thanks, Mom. That explains a lot.
Oh, okay.
No, wait, did you say, excuse you, Mom? Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, Pluot. Well, what's that? And she goes, I don't know. It's just, it tastes really good. So I bought you some. So I said, okay. So then for the post this week, I'm like, oh, well, what about those fruits that I had? So I did some research and I found out that pluots are a variety of, they're in the prunus species, I guess.
Prunus
species
so
of fruit.
Okay.
And they're a cross between a plum and an apricot. Oh. And so there's four different varieties. And this is the pronunciation part.
Okay.
So there's pluots, plumcots, apriplums, and apriums.
I'm sorry. I have so an apriprot. I have a, can somebody take, what can I take for this? It sounds like an illness. I'm not making fun of you.
No, but
I
it just, does. It sounds, it
what
does.
Was it? An
apriplum.
Apriplum. Oh, what can I take for that? I'm sorry.
I have apriplum.
Having an apoplexy for an apriplum.
But yeah, so I found out that, let me see if I can get this, if I can get this correctly. So apriplums and plumcots are direct descendants of plums and apricots. They're the first generation.
Well, that kind of makes sense. So it's cross-pollination we're talking about here. Yeah. It's nobody...
No one's messing with it.
I was about to say the F-A-R-T word, which to me is as bad as the other F word. I don't like that word.
I know.
But so no one's mucking around with...
No one's doing anything.
Genetics.
These trees were just next to each other, and they happen naturally in some places of the world.
Well, how did we get nectarines?
It's
Think
the same
about
idea.
It, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But the other two kinds, so apriums and pluots, are further generations. Because I guess a pluot is 25% apricot, 75%... plum.
I see. So the apriums, that's not where people go to enjoy a glass.
Atrium, apriums. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm kidding. No, but the key here, Gina, is where can people find them? Because, I mean, your mom lives in
New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're here in Jersey.
Yeah.
But we have this audience that's across around the world, really. Where do people find these?
So, I mean, my mom found them just at our local grocery store, which probably she got them either from our grocery store, which is a Hannaford's. Which I don't know if you even have here.
Oh, I know Hannaford from Vermont.
From Vermont. Okay.
Yes.
And she might have gotten them at like a couple local farmers markets as well.
So they're grown locally?
Some places. I've gotten them here at Whole Foods. And actually on my way here, I was trying to pick some up for us to try, but they were out.
Oh, that's not really right. You know why? Because everybody saw your post and went running into the store.
Excellent.
They went running into the store.
Excellent.
But they taste awesome.
Good.
They're so good.
Well, I love both. I think
I've seen them at King's and I was a little leery, even though they look like little sunsets or sunrises or something.
They're so
you know what
beautiful.
I mean? The colors.
Why would you be
leery of fruit?
Well, you know, it's that whole GMO thing. Like, what did they do to make it that way?
Okay, for instance, yellow cherries are phenomenally good.
Yes, they are. I do buy those for waning.
And actually, they're on sale now at one of our local grocery stores.
In New Hampshire, I've seen yellow cucumbers before that were natural.
Yeah.
And my dad wouldn't touch them. And he was like, I don't believe those fruits are natural.
Does he talk with a Greek accent?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know,
just tell him to spray some Windex on him.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
I probably should. But I'm like, Dad, it's a cucumber. You know?
That is funny. Yes, yeah. my big fat Greek wedding reference.
Exactly.
Too, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's funny.
But there are some recipes for pluots.
Like a tart.
Well.
Sort of
you
a tart,
put a bunch
I'll
of
bet.
Recipes up and they look easy and fun.
They
and
look really
yum.
Easy. I found them on Bon Appetit. They sometimes have like really easy, quick recipes.
Yeah.
So I recommend them and I also recommend Serious Eats. That's my food Bible. I basically go there and everything is tried and true. Everything is good.
Really?
The recipes on there?
The recipes on
Epicurious quite a bit. Have you ever been to Epicurious?
Yes. That's a good one.
You know,
actually.
I surf through all the different recipes and I just take from one and the other and the other and I come up with my own.
And then there's Pinterest, which I call foodie porn. You know, like they have like the most incredible pictures.
You know, they have self-help groups for that.
Foodie porn. But people like, you know, photograph food. Like these are obviously, a lot of them are food
That's
stylists.
What I do.
Yeah, I do.
All the time.
If you look at my Instagram, like I'd say 60% of it is food.
How can people find your Instagram, Megan?
Well, I'm at Green Diva Meg.
Okay, there you go.
And while we're talking about it, I want folks to go to our website and see Gina's article post with the...
pluots and plumquats or whatever. I said it wrong,
apriplums.
Didn't I? Apriplums. I'm sorry.
Plumquats.
I've just been scolded by the intern. Holy smokes.
So go to thegreendivas.com. Wait. Let me say that again.
Thegreendivas.com.
And let me just do a quick rundown on what's coming up. Thank you, Gina.
Sure. Thank you, guys.
Green Dude Eco Ed is going to talk today about food, about the importance of local food, clean food, and, you know, what we put into our body and why we should be aware, right? Because it ties in a little bit to what's coming up later. Our feature is filmmaker Ed Brown, who produced a film called Unacceptable Levels. And Ed's been in the studio with us before.
That's before he had people.
Right. And now he's got people.
Now Ed's got people.
Ed's in Chicago traveling around, you know, opening the film all
yes.
over the place.
Well,
and
New York,
really
I'm
going
to
well.
Make him invite us for the opening.
And in between Green Diva Mizar's DIY, you're doing the bug repellent?
With food. So it all ties in.
Bug repellent with food?
Well, it's all natural.
Oh, so you can eat it?
Technically, you can.
That's
I don't know
funny.
How it's going to taste, but yes, you can. So we'll get into that. But it's just, it's yes. And I'm told it works.
We have a wonderful show lining up. So people, please stay tuned. We're going to take a very quick break.
I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenaid makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at greenaid.co.
Hi, I'm Marielle Hemingway, and you're listening to Green Divas Radio, and you're loving your life.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas Radio Show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Hello, Green Divas. How are you today?
Hello, Ed.
I'm a little hot under the collar, but apart from that, we're good.
Hot under the collar.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you cranky, Mizar?
I can be. I mean, yes.
Staying cool today is a full-time challenge.
Yeah.
Hey, and here today to talk about another green subject that's very important to me, and I think it's very important to a lot of our listeners out there. And that's,
it should be.
Oh, it should be. It's locally harvested or locally grown foods. And that's so important because understanding what we put into our bodies is so important. We hear so much about GMOs or not knowing where the fruits or agriculture comes from, or even the animals or livestock. So what we're going to talk about today is how to get the best products that are locally grown and locally harvested and why that's good.
And the environmental impact has an effect on...
Oh, the environmental
right?
impact is huge because a lot of those fruits and vegetables that we get out there are actually more well-traveled than some of us. They
it's
come
true.
From
Chile, South, other places in South America. But does picking raspberries along the side of the road count? Because I did that this afternoon.
She did.
I did. I stopped. I had to wait for traffic, and then I'm out there picking the raspberries. And I'm going to pick more on the way home.
I think you might be beating me on that one green thing application. I think it's Green
Oh,
is
I'm
universal.
Blowing you out of the water, dude. I am so blowing you out
I
of the water.
I may have to concede on that one. Okay, so one of the little amusing little anecdotes we're going to talk about is a good friend of mine who is born and raised in Jersey. Her and her husband got tired of the rat race, and they sold their chiropractic practices. I said that in one.
That was good.
Swoop.
You practiced.
Yeah.
They sold their chiropractic practices, and they moved to Costa Rica. And one of the side benefits of moving to Costa Rica was she was so thrilled about having great quality local fruits and vegetables at all times. And their refrigeration is relatively poor in certain areas. So she goes out daily and buys wonderful, healthy fruits. And she was telling me how amazing it is and how healthy they become, and their energy levels are up, and they've lost weight, and it's tremendous. And she actually turned into an author while down there, and she's wrote a great book called Happier Than a Billionaire.
I like it.
And it's been on the bestseller list, and actually you can find out some amusing little anecdotes. Her name is Nadine. At Twitter, she's at Happier With Less.
There you go.
And Facebook is Happier Than a Billionaire. But it's great to see how much that could impact you.
No, so let me ask a question. Are the fruits and vegetables, the fresh stuff that they're eating, are they organically, naturally produced?
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of the chemicals that we see in industrial farms here in the U.S. aren't used.
Right. I would guess that these are much smaller local farms, whatever the case is.
I just wanted to point out that that's probably part of it.
And we're going to talk about it, and we'll give some of those resources on the podcast. There's groups like NOFA, which is a Northeast Organic Farming Association, that can help you identify local organic or sustainable farms. And some of the other ways we can find resources like this are localharvest.org.
Love that, yeah.
Oh, great, great resources. And a lot of areas have CSAs, community-supported agriculture.
Yes.
So you can join a group so you can get regular deliveries of healthy fruits and vegetables.
We have a friend who does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marnie Viff.
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
Marnie over in Mountain Lakes. Yeah. Wonderful. And it was amazing because Marielle was telling us, finding out about local livestock. She's very in tune with this because I believe Bobby eats meat.
Yep.
They like to know more about the animals, how they're treated, the conditions they're raised in, whether or not
they eat happy buffalo. I don't know if they're happy when they're being eaten, but the buffalo are happy.
Yep. And
happy buffalo's outside.
She feels strong about understanding what's in it, making sure there's no hormones and a lot of things like that. So in a nutshell, you can find a lot of local organic and sustainably harvested fruits, vegetables, other foods. They're healthy, good for you. You're supporting local businesses. You're actually supporting local sustainable businesses that are good for the planet. And also you're reducing the carbon footprint of those foods you're eating.
Yeah, and reducing the amount of toxins and pesticides going into the earth and the water systems.
So I guess the only thing I have to do with my raspberries is wash off the soot.
Right? The diesel fumes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, kids, hang on.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
Well, I'm not sure I recycled or repurposed. Well, no, I did. Oh, look at that. I get extra bonus music.
Bonus music.
Yeah. No, I did actually reuse something. I made bug repellent.
I like that.
And I used a bottle of vodka that nobody was drinking that I've had forever.
Okay. I don't know if that qualifies as reuse.
Well,
but
it's better than throwing it away.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I have it there.
Or repelling?
Well, no. Here's what I, and it's very easy, and there really are a ton of recipes online. You can go to many, many different sites, but I chose this one because I happen to like cloves.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I love it. So you just need to get about 2 cups of vodka. Mm-hmm. Very easy.
Vodka?
3 ounces of cloves, whole cloves. And you can even use alcohol out of a bottle.
Like rubbing alcohol?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I just use the vodka because it's okay. It's natural. And you can put it on your skin and it's okay. You're not going to harm yourself with the vodka. So, and plus nobody was drinking it because frankly, nobody likes vodka in our house. But you've got to let this soak, the cloves soak for 4 days.
Okay. In the alcohol?
In the alcohol. Okay. Stirring it. I mean, it says once in the morning, once at night, but every time I go past it in the kitchen, I give it a quick stir. It's getting pretty mucky looking, but I suppose that's what it's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. When you're done, strain it and then add your favorite oil. Now, we got a basil oil the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But I happen to like lavender. So you just put a couple of drops of that in there. And then the hardest part for me in this whole endeavor was finding a plastic spray bottle.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what I kept? Okay, so I color my hair, everybody.
So here's your upcycling.
Yeah, I'm upcycling because I took one of those little squeezy bottles from a hair color. That I must have like 15 of them because I can't throw them out. And I know they're going to be good for something someday. I just put it in there and you just rub some on your body. You know, it doesn't have any chemicals in it.
Spray it, yeah.
Well, yeah, or spray it, yeah.
Spray it in your hand. No chemicals. Stain or anything?
No. Well, I don't know about that yet, but I don't think it will because you're rubbing it on your skin. But
well, DEET, you know what I mean.
DEET is a great chemical and it's been proven safe for everybody. It has been. I mean, it's the EPA and WebMD both tell us that DEET is okay for external use, even on babies and children.
Really?
However, it is still a chemical. Mm-hmm. And if you look at one of the most popular brands of spray, first thing, highlighted in yellow, precautionary statements, warning, you know. So there's some issues. Get it in your eyes. You may have some kind of, you put it. They don't.
So this is DEET-free, non-toxic, all-natural DIY Green Diva Mizar's repellent.
Yeah.
And does it work?
And I'm told it works. Actually, my repellent is Antonio and my daughter Antares because
they're the bug bait.
If they're standing next to me, I'm safe, man. I'm telling you.
That's funny.
Poor Antonio, his ankles get attacked every time we're outside.
Yeah, my sister and I are like that. Like, she'll be like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm swacking.
My sister's the same way. We had to hightail it out of a nature reserve in Massachusetts once. We were on Martha's Vineyard. She was covered with welts. My daughter went for a walk on the beach in North Carolina. 85 mosquito bites. I almost took her to the clinic.
Aww.
Because that's a lot. I mean, you know. Yeah. And then she told me, I just took two Benadryl. I said, two? I'm not going to sleep all night now. You know?
Yeah.
So, but she's susceptible. And so I'm hoping this stuff works.
Some people just get eaten alive. Mrs. Ecoette is one of those. And anytime she walks outside, what we've tried in the garden, I'll keep you posted on whether or not it works, is we tried planting lemongrass.
Right. I have a ton of that, too.
Lemon balm.
Yes. Yep.
And like you said, when you pull over, we pull over in North Jersey, we have these things called cattails.
Yes.
So we pull over and cut a few of them, dry them out in the basement, and then you burn them as punks. And it's like a citronella that keeps away a lot of bugs.
No kidding. Yes, I knew that, actually. The thing is that you have to be careful not to get them not too late, not because they'll fall apart on you.
Then they go poof.
And then instead of punks, you have
stuff.
Powder. You have all over the house.
Poofs. Yeah.
Poofs, yeah. Poofs. But yeah, you got to get them early enough. But that's a great idea, too.
All right.
Well, so I'll let you know.
Excellent. Well, I want to try some. I'm going to make some, too. You've got a post ready for?
It's all ready to go.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be posting that this afternoon.
Yes.
TheGreenDivas.com. Stay tuned. More coming up. Ed Brown from Unacceptable Levels. We'll talk to him about the deed.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
We're back. Hi.
We're still rattling on here.
Yeah.
Ed was talking about coffee grounds.
Yeah, coffee grounds supposedly work really well, too. So what we've been doing at the local Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts is having them save some of the grounds for us, and we take them and spread them into the garden. It's a good source of nitrogen, and we haven't been doing it long enough to give you concrete results, but supposedly it keeps away mosquitoes
also. Well, Jeff Yeager said, get your used dryer sheets. Now, I don't use dryer sheets.
Right.
I'm just a minimalist.
I have some, like, natural ones. I don't know if they have the same.
I don't know. But he said, get the used ones and hang them not, like, on your outdoor lights, but near your outdoor lights, and that'll keep the bugs away as well.
Hmm. Yeah.
Moths. I don't know about mosquitoes, but, yes, coffee grounds. And if you put coffee grounds, if you sprinkle it in stagnant water, none of us should have stagnant water around anyway. But if you have some kind of a pool or whatever that requires stagnant water, if you sprinkle coffee grounds on that, the mosquitoes will not land. And
really?
And yes. Well, Jeff Yeager told us that a couple weeks ago.
I don't remember the coffee ground thing. I don't know why.
You were not paying attention.
I was probably busy with a tech issue.
Yeah, probably.
Barley balls work real well, too. A lot of people.
What?
I didn't know barley had balls.
Hey, I tried to be good. I didn't talk about the bamboo underwear this time.
Oh.
Yeah, but barley will keep away mosquitoes, and especially we had a rainy spring. You have a lot of stagnant water, and it keeps away a lot of the mosquitoes.
But take a step back. What exactly are barley balls?
Yeah.
It's actually just packed in barley. There's something in the
what
grain.
Do you do? Can you make them? Do you take the barley, you boil it and pack it? I mean, put it in mesh?
No, you can buy them in stores.
Yes, but, you know, I'm the green diva who makes things.
Yeah, but I've never seen barley growing except in the Midwest, so I'm not really sure.
No, I understand that, but you can buy barley grain. You can. I mean, it's not. I go to the Middle Eastern store, and you get that stuff there all the time.
I've never seen a barley ball in the store. What store are you talking about?
You're just being modest, Meg.
Maybe you haven't been in the right stores.
Apparently not. Oh my God, that's funny.
All right. So, where did you buy them?
Actually, Home Depot has a variety of them, and you can buy them.
No kidding.
In gardening stores, yeah.
Barley balls. There's so many jokes here. Many jokes here. That's why.
We are just.
We'll have to temper our enthusiasm.
Having too much fun.
Now, mind you, it's barley, not barley.
No, barley.
Barley. But barley's actually, we should, you know what? If we do more foodie stuff, a lot of people don't know how to cook with barley, but it makes some really wicked good salads.
Yeah, barley salad.
Like we've used farro.
Yeah.
Barley. And of course, you don't eat meat, but beef and barley soup. In the wintertime, it's one of my daughter's favorites. Yes. And my mother, she used to just kick butt.
This brown rice, like a short grain brown rice, organic, with barley, pearl barley, and lentils, this mixture.
Oh, yum.
And it's like a total protein, yum. Like,
I love lentils.
I don't love them, but I like them in that mixture.
I have a colleague who, you know, I have my Pure Tuo, the water company. She soaks the lentils in the water. And she has them sprout in the water, and then she eats the lentil sprouts.
Yes.
I've never done that.
Yes, sprouting.
Yes. I'm going to have to try that.
And that's Sprout Man very healthy, yeah.
Sprout Man taught me how to sprout. And
who's Sprout Man?
Steve Meyerowitz. He's written like 100 freaking books.
Oh, sorry.
Raw sprouting.
Oh.
But he's, and they taught me you can make Rejuvelac from grains like
barley.
Why
don't we get him on the show?
We should.
Well, no, there's no such thing as should. We will.
Okay. Do it. Just do it.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Oh. Okay. I think we have Ed. So let's get Ed on the air. Ed? Ed, can you hear us?
Just barely. Yes. Hi.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, it's quite all right.
How are you?
Oh, I couldn't complain about anything. I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. And just for listeners who may be tuning in now, this is Ed Brown, filmmaker and producer of Unacceptable Levels, which is a fabulous documentary questioning the toxicity of our environment and our bodies and offering some thoughtful ways to start dealing with it.
All right, Ed, before we get into all the fun and fanfare, because I know you've been traveling all across this country, tell folks what led you to this project and why. Because I know we talked about it in the past, but I think it's a good reminder.
Well, that's quite all right. No, I appreciate doing this because, like most people who get inspired to make some kind of a change in a big one like this, unfortunately, it happens through personal tragedy at times. I am a journalist, but I'm also a father, and I'm also a husband. And my wife had two miscarriages. In between our son being born, and we also have a little girl named Maya. And basically, after she had her second miscarriage, this is when we started to look into our own bodies and our environment and start asking some really hard questions about maybe there was a contributing factor, maybe there wasn't. And it didn't really matter whether her miscarriages were a result of any chemicals that are inside of her body or not. What I discovered is a pretty amazing story, and I called it, I think I'm on firm ground by saying this. This is the biggest unnatural disaster to ever happen in human history.
Yeah.
With chemicals inside of our body.
It's actually very frightening, and you bring out a lot of statistics in the film that, you know, are frankly terrifying. But what I love is that you do offer some practical steps that we can all start taking to get active and to start making amends. But before we even get into all that, you're now traveling with the film, right?
Yeah, we're going into select cities. We have three really big dates coming up soon in Chicago and Austin and also in Nashville. Nashville hasn't exactly been solidified yet, but we're planning on that in mid-September. But the next two dates that are going to be in Chicago and Austin are really going to be an amazing event, and we're really excited about it. So, yeah, we're in select cities right now. Very select, especially if you don't live in either of those two parts of the country. But thankfully, we're planning for a very big fall tour later on this year.
And you'll be coming to New York or New Jersey, right?
Of course I would. I wouldn't ever dream of not
actually,
coming back
I
to
think
New Jersey.
We should plan a Green Diva launch in northern New Jersey.
I do, too. And, yeah. And Ed, I said to Megan before going on the air, I said he needs one Green Diva on each arm for these openings. We can do the red carpet. We're Diva. What's that?
That's the only way to travel.
How much do we love him?
I know, and I'm sure your wife will, you know, put up with us for an event.
And tell us a little,
Ed,
about...
She'd be happy to have that happen, and she thinks that it helps my ego in a big way. And,
it's okay. We can stroke your ego. We're good at that.
Tell us real quick, Ed, about those events. What is what's going to be happening at these events? We want to get some people excited about showing up for them.
You know, typically, to tell everybody, you know what, there's 200 industrial chemicals inside of your body right now. That isn't going to get a lot of people to get up out of the seat.
Makes me wonder, though.
They feel inspired. You know, they don't feel like, well, that's enough to get me out to go watch a movie about myself. Mm-hmm. What I attempt to do and what I enjoy doing is getting people to understand that an issue like this, although troubling, and it should be, and although it is a weighty one and one that needs to be addressed, the film itself tries to put it into, I wouldn't call it an entertaining kind of mode, but it's not going to make you feel like you just want to, you know, just collapse into yourself and fall into the fetal position and hit the floor and just forget about,
you're not
going to
want to, like, just slash your wrist and it's over, it's
yeah.
over. No, I like that about the film, is it does, it is uplifting and it's not all bad news, in other words.
No, it's not all bad news. And the good news, always, is that so we can do something about it. And so I'm an inspirational kind of person. I'm a very positive individual, and I like to make people feel good about something that is bad. And that's a very difficult magic trick that most people struggle with. Hopefully I've been able to accomplish that and make people understand that, you know, I'm not all about, you know, trying to rip the companies to the ground or berating government or anything like that. I'm saying let's just take a step back and, you know, take inventory of ourselves and of our children and of animals and the environment and stuff like that, and understand that this is a concerted approach that we all need to take together on this one. And it doesn't matter about your race, it doesn't matter about your age, it doesn't matter about your sex, or your marital status, nothing. None of those factors play into a problem this big.
Well, one of the things I really liked about the film is and part of the reason I think you did this, was for your children. And in each segment, you really tie it into, you know, you're just a guy with a wife and a family and your kids, and you're concerned about what kind of future they're going into.
And you're not alone.
Right.
I mean, really, when you think about it, Ed, it's you've done it for yourself, but
right.
If you touch, I don't know, even one other family, but I'm sure that you're reaching a lot of people now.
Well, one of the things that we found is that, you know, over the years when we've talked to people about how did you get into this, almost inevitably, most people will say, well, gee, you know, before I had kids, I really didn't care what kind of, you know, cleaners I was using on my floor and in my kitchen. But as soon as I had children, I started thinking, wow, I don't want those toxic chemicals on my little baby.
That's right. Exactly. So, yeah, Ed, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please continue.
No, I was just going to ask you, given these parameters, what do you offer? I mean, yes, you put out the facts and the statistics, and I like the fact that you are hopeful about it. But tell us really, in a nutshell, what that hopeful message is.
You know, I think that whenever we think about ourselves, we think, hey, I'm going to die someday. Well, why? And I don't want to sacrifice the pleasures that I have in my life. Most people think that, you know, if I have to replace something with something else, that I'm going to be deprived of something. That is a common mentality that most people have. Or they sit back and say, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that couldn't be further from the truth, especially with an issue like this. And now, whenever we take the focus from ourselves, which we're egotistical, you know, we you know, we're self-centered, and I can understand that. We all have that as a part of our personality. But then whenever we change our focus from ourselves to our children and start to understand, whenever we look down at these amazing, beautiful little people, about how much potential they have and how much responsibility that I carry toward this person growing up to being exactly what they want to be and how they want to be it. That is where I feel like, as a father, I feel great about making the decisions that I have whenever it comes to buying a water filtration system or eating organic food or trying to keep away from as many flame retardants as possible or trying to make sure that people understand more about this issue. That's really where I'm coming from. That generates the energy that I have that brings me around to this issue all the time, and it makes me excited to talk to audiences about it because, let's face it, I mean, there's nothing more important than our next generation of kids, and they have to start somewhere, and it has to start with us. We have to be the catalyst, and we have to light the match to make sure that this fire burns and that everybody can grow and grow up in a better environment than we did.
Ed, clearly you're excited, and I don't want to bring you down with my next question, but in your research, I mean, it's infectious. It's
Debbie,
wonderful.
Debbie Downer over
no,
here.
No, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, because you know me. I always like to
I
find
need
the...
that, though, sometimes.
No, I'm just teasing. No, but you know what? But the reality is, maybe without being a downer, we can just say the reality is that, as you said, we are in an environmental, one huge environmental disaster. Have you, in your research... Or actually, let me ask it this way. What in your research has shocked you the most? For example, for me, is when I was growing up, nobody talked about cancer. And if they did, they whispered it or they called it the C word, which we all know has a different connotation these days. But it does. But
sure,
everybody whispered, oh, she's really sick. Oh, my gosh, what does she have? She has cancer.
Yeah.
Now, that to me is one of the most startling facts that I hear every day, because I hear more and more. I mean, none of us doesn't know someone who has cancer. It's prolific at this point. So that to me is a statistic, and I don't know numbers and charts and graphs.
So in other words, what?
That's okay. I do.
My question to you was, what was the most startling and eye-opening thing that you discovered doing this film?
Well, you know, first and foremost, one in every two people in the United States today will have cancer. And when you hear something like that, that doesn't just make me take a step back. That makes me take a step forward. I sit back and I say, my God, we've got to do something about this. I mean, that could not possibly be a coincidence. It couldn't possibly be an accident. And there certainly has to be something that can be done about that. One in every two people will have cancer. I mean, there isn't anybody that doesn't know somebody that has this horrible disease, right?
Yeah.
And we all have cancer cells inside of our bodies. They just need to get activated the proper way for this disease to grow and flourish inside of our body, and eventually, at times, without proper treatment, it could eventually kill us. And so knowing that one in every two people has cancer, to me, that's where we have to draw a line in the sand and say, this can't continue this way anymore. What could we possibly expect for our long-term salvation unless we do something about this starting right now?
Well, and there's more and more research that does link environmental and chemicals and toxins in the environment to cancer.
It has to be environmental,
now,
Megan.
I mean,
it has to be.
Just to throw some personal statistics, both of my parents died of cancer. My one sister had breast cancer. Thank God she's fine now. I've had skin cancer. My brother had a skin cancer. I mean, seriously, you know, hopefully none of it's fatal in my brother and sister.
But you know what? I can give you another example. My ex-husband's wife at the time, her sister and their parents would vacation on a lake somewhere in upstate New York where it was sprayed with mosquito. It was
like
the whole
orange.
Place was dusted. Both the mom and the one sister had breast cancer. Karen regrettably died of ovarian cancer, and the father has lymphoma.
Yeah.
You tell me, all four in one family? Come on, there's something going on.
Can I say, all right, I want to just kind of say something different, move off the topic a little bit. I think, you know, it's very, very important, and, you know, we've definitely touched on that. I was kind of surprised. See, now I think I know a lot, but, of course, I never do. But, you know, I'm informed. I read a lot, and I see a lot of films about all this stuff. And the most surprising thing to me that I did not know about was the solid waste being used in industrial farming. That was really shocking to me. Was there any other surprising thing for you?
Well, that really was one of the more bracing aspects of what I had learned about. When you hear the term sewage sludge, it doesn't evoke a nice warm feeling inside of yourself.
No.
Sewage sludge, you know, is not something to mess around with. This is a highly toxic substance that the EPA renamed biosolids to make it feel, even though it didn't change the product, it made us feel a little bit better about what the product was. And that's just some marketing and PR magic that they went through. And so to know that our farmland is being fertilized by toxic sewage sludge is you know, that makes us feel a little bit odd. At 3.5 million tons of this stuff is used as fertilizer every single year, and it contains PCBs, DDT, dioxins, mercury, lead, asbestos, and over 267 other toxic materials in it.
Right, but somebody has deemed it acceptable levels, right? That's part of your...
Someone has, you know, somebody, a group of people out there has suggested that this is okay. This is just fine. We can put this out there and everything will be hunky-dory. And to me, I find that to be incredibly troubling that that happens with chemicals all the time.
Yes, I agree with that.
And, you know, and toxic sewage sludge is really one of the main things that, you know, you sit back and you learn about the human sewage system and you think that, you know, we're growing food with this product. It's just, you know, and there's pharmaceutical drugs in it.
Heavy metals.
This ground is going to, my question is always this. We know what it looks like today, but dare I say it, what's the ground going to look like after 100 years of applying this stuff? Does anybody have any idea what that's going
to be? Of course not.
Like?
Of course not.
I don't know, but you should see the faces on everybody in the studio right now. We're all wincing.
I keep going back to people poop in our pastures, you know, with some alliteration there. But Ed, okay, let's go on to positive things. How have people been reacting to the movie? You're going to do Chicago and Austin. Where did you go prior? And what
kind of
feedback?
We were in San Francisco. We were in D.C. And, you know, well, a lot of other places, obviously, but in New York. And, you know, most people walk out and they have this feeling of being overwhelmed, because it is an overwhelming topic when you think about, you know, every aspect of your life has been completely overwhelmed with synthetic industrial chemicals. Every moment of every day, we're being subjected to this. It's a constant stream of chemicals. But whenever I hear these reactions, most people, it depends on where you're at in the country, to be honest. In D.C., they had a nice little reaction for it. But in San Francisco, they were clapping, standing up, and cheering. And it, you know, it's almost like it's an East Coast, West Coast mentality, where we're a little bit more jaded on the East Coast. We're a little bit more hesitant on the East Coast. You know, we're a little bit more upset for no apparent reason on the East Coast.
Well, we're also probably more polluted on the East Coast.
yeah, right. So we've been swimming in this stuff for a while. We already know the deal, right? No, but I mean, I live in Pennsylvania, and it's tough to get through that mentality. But you can, because you always turn the focus back around to the children or even the elderly or the poor.
One of the things that
you get a different perspective whenever it comes to something as serious as this.
Well, I love that you've also gotten some, you know, celebrities who and leaders in this, not only in the film, but, you know, you've had Mariel Hemingway and Fran Drescher, who are really folks that feel strongly about this. They've gotten behind the film.
Yeah, to know that you have some noteworthy people out there that really believe in something that you're doing, you feel vindicated, and I do in a very big way. I felt like the past 4 years of sacrifice and blood, sweat, and a lot of tears really was worth it. And, you know, I worked 3 jobs while I was trying to put this thing together. I did the whole film by myself, and that's not to pat myself on the back, but it took that long. And, you know, to have anybody that is out in the national media and stuff like that come around and say, you know, I'm really proud of you for what you tried to do to help people. I mean, that really means a lot. It really, really does. And I feel like I've done the right thing with my life finally.
Well, we really love your work, and we're behind you for what it's worth. Ed's got something.
No, I appreciate it. Are you kidding me? We mean for what it's worth. I love it.
And we love you, Ed. We really do.
And Ed, I really love the fact of what motivated you, because for all of us, and the reason why I became an activist and why a lot of us have, is because, you know, our own health is important to us. But we always, the thing that got me adamant about this is, what about our children? What's going to be there for our children? Are we spreading these things genetically? Are we leaving a good environment? Are we leaving something healthy, a legacy for our children? Because This is what's the most important thing in the world. What good is a country worth fighting for if you've laid waste to the land or the water or the
resources
air?
Are depleted and poisoned.
Yep. So, Ed, I have to give you kudos for that, because that's wonderful that was enough to motivate you on this journey.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Thank you so much. I love hearing anyone giving me praise. I don't know if I deserve it or not, but I certainly appreciate it. And I will say that, let's face it. If we have an environment, which is our body or ourselves, I always go back to the people who are I always enjoy talking to people about the pro-life or the pro-choice people about this kind of an issue because, the womb is something that needs to be very well protected, and it isn't. It's treated like a charity inside of our hospitals, and most people don't really understand just how vital every step of the way and every trimester that this child is inside of the mother's body, how important this process is, and any little thing that could happen, a potentially toxic chemical that could come into this equation, could really send a fetus or a baby right off the hinges. So for anyone that's thinking about this issue in that kind of a sense, and I ask people to consider that for a moment, let's stop acting like a woman's body is anything like a charity. Let's act like it's the most important part of our entire history as a civilization, because it is.
Whoa. True that. Well, Gracie chimed in case anybody was wondering. And clearly she is definitely agreeing with you, Ed, as we are.
Exclamation point.
Yes. She kind of drove the point home there for us.
Now, can you just tell us how people can find out more about the film and when it's coming near them and how they can see it and learn more?
Well, the great aspect about what we're doing is that, starting this fall, September 18th and 19th and 20th, that's whenever we're going to be going on to iTunes, and we're going to be headed out across the country with a website called Tug. Now, anybody can go on to unacceptablelevels.com right now and check out, where we're going to be at. Now, we've gotten over 200 requests for screenings worldwide, which is really exciting. And to know that people are that excited about it because people really want to bring it into their area.
Well, now make sure that you add, you have 201 because you want the Green Divas are putting in a request to do a screening.
Yes, that's right.
We have a theater right here in our town, a beautiful historic theater.
Oh, it's an old vaudeville theater, and the walls are actually 30-inch poured concrete. Don't ask me how I know that because it's a long story, but it's a great theater.
You don't get that kind of architecture.
No, you don't.
Do you?
You don't. It's definitely a historic landmark, and the acoustics are great in there. Oh, that would be lovely, Ed, if you could do that.
Oh.
All right, that's our request. We're in.
All right, we'll have your people call my people, our people. Although we are the people. We are the people, but,
hey, there we go. Okay, so we got another screening. Everybody can go. They're going to be showing up in New Jersey. We'll find a date, and as long as everybody checks on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed, you'll be able to know when we're going to be in New Jersey with the Green Divas, which is really exciting.
Once again, Ed, the Facebook is Unacceptable Levels.
Yes, and Unacceptable Levels.
And Twitter?
It's going to be Unacceptable Lev.
L-E-V, yeah.
Yeah, L-E-V, yeah.
Okay, just to make
and
it clear.
And we're going
to
put all of this on thegreendivas.com, people.
Of course we are.
Don't worry about writing it all down, but, we're on it.
And Ed, thank you so much for coming on onto the show today. And thank you so much for taking the time out in the last 3 years and the dedication to bring this information to us.
It's really my pleasure, and I want to thank everybody for having me on again. It's always exciting and always a great time to talk to everybody. And I miss you very much.
Oh, we love you, Ed.
Well,
end,
it's not the same as having you in, which we did the first time, but we'll do that again when when we do the screening.
When you're in New Jersey. When you're in New Jersey, it'll be great.
Jersey.
All right.
Bring the wife and kids. It'll be great.
Everybody can babysit and watch my kids. That's great. I'll get some time off.
It'll be a party.
Excellent. Ed, thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Ed.
Take care. All right, bye.
Awesome.
He's so infectious.
Yeah.
You know, his enthusiasm just is so.
Well, it's very sincere.
Well, because he lived it.
Yeah.
You know, he lived it and he really brought it home, I guess. You know.
More and more you see these, especially when you talk about the C word, that becomes part of your DNA and part of your genes. And that gets carried forward to the next generation. And it's difficult to protect a fetus or anything in the womb if it actually becomes part of your DNA.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we have to follow up this at some point with ways to detox, ways to get this stuff out of our systems. I mean, women have it in their breast tissue, so they're breastfeeding. Well, I mean, and that's, you know, that's not that easy to get rid of.
No, but listen to what Ed said. He said 200 industrial chemicals in our bodies.
Hello.
So we got to start with a couple of them, but anybody who takes a shower with a plastic liner is going to have BPA in their system. Babies are being born with it in their umbilical cords as we speak. They are. They're being born pre-polluted. So it's just, it's horrendous. And it's, and I think Ed made a good point that people walk out a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But if it just takes, if it spurs one person to do one thing for not the whole world, but for themselves and their family, then mission accomplished as far as I'm concerned. You know, mission accomplished for sure.
Yeah.
Like we always preach here at the Green Divas, it doesn't take, you don't have to live in a snow cave and live off the grid. Just
a snow cave.
But I want to live in a snow cave.
Well, today I do.
just live, you know, just changing some small things about your life or taking some steps to become more green and more sustainable. Every little step counts. Every little bit helps.
It really does, because it does add up. When I start seeing these statistics, and I don't have them in front of me, so don't ask me to read. But you know, if you just turn off one light, you know.
Here's what I want everybody to do.
Okay.
This is my what's the word I'm looking for?
Green diva-ism for the day?
No, not even green diva-ism. It's sort of like I'm going to put this out there, okay?
Task.
It's a task.
It's a challenge.
A challenge. That's the word I was looking for. God, talk about a brain fart. Sorry.
Psych. Ooh, you said the word.
I did say the word because it was just funny at the moment. I would like everybody to think on this. When you go out and you go to the grocery store and you buy whatever, whether it's prepackaged, and I don't buy prepackaged produce. I'm trying to think of some good examples of things that come with plastic
like
bags already.
Like an eggplant wrapped in plastic? What the heck?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't do that. But
I'm
trying to think of other things that you cannot avoid buying in a plastic bag. Like if you buy sliced bread, it's like packed in plastic twice.
Yeah.
Bananas, sometimes you get them.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking, okay? Right. Maybe it's one or two things, but I'm trying to
be aware.
Be aware. Cut that bag open carefully and reuse that bag.
There you go.
Do not buy plastic bags. You go to the dry cleaners, organic dry cleaners, take that plastic bag, tie a knot in the bottom. That's your garbage bag. My kids drive me crazy because they think I'm nuts. Every wax bag that comes out of a cereal box is reused. I do not buy plastic bags.
Yeah.
Ever. They come into my environment because I can't help it.
Right.
And I go ahead and just reuse them or recycle them.
I am so backing off that green challenge with you, Mizar.
You better. I'm telling you, Ed, you don't stand a snowball's chance in Hades.
Yeah, she's pretty good that
So I would really love people to get on our website or our Facebook and tell us one thing they did to change their immediate environment. It doesn't take much. It does not take much.
Whether it's reusing or upcycling or DIY where you're, you know.
I love that idea. I did a class at Baruch College a couple of years ago, and one of the most successful things I did at the end was I got the audience up on their feet and had everyone shout out one thing that they've done that saves energy, is more sustainable. And people were learning from each other. They were challenging. They were jumping up and down by the end of this 5-10 minutes, really excited. And all of them cross-pollinated and got some great ideas across. It was really an uplifting event.
I like that.
I do too. And I think, you know what? Let's put that challenge out. I think we should write it up, put it on Facebook, on our website, and go from there.
Do it, people. So look us up on Facebook, Green Divas Radio Show.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at Green Diva Meg or at org Green Divas or now at Green Diva Studio.
And also on our YouTube page.
Oh, that's right. We really would love for people to subscribe because we're getting busy with the videos. And they're quick, like a minute and a half tops.
Right.
You know?
We're not going to take up a whole bunch of your time.
Mostly Green Diva quickies.
Yes. And they're funny, actually.
Yeah, we're pretty
silly.
There's another.
Isn't there another outlet? What is it?
Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah,
there's the other
Green
one.
Green Diva Meg.
I think I saw a video called Green Diva Quickies. And I'm not sure if it was on YouTube, though.
That's, yeah. So... please find us. thegreendivas.com.
I'm biting my tongue.
And on that note, stay tuned and find us during the week on social media, and you'll find out what's coming up next week, because I don't really know.
So many good things. Yeah, but coming up next, it's the Uncle Buggy radio show.
That's right. That's right. Uncle Buggy. So you may have to reset your browser if you're listening, because we're switching to the station down there on Cornelia Street. It's great music. Anyway.
Stay cool, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.